This is Jason Marsden, voice of Duke from G.I. Joe Renegades. You're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Yo, Joe.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Hello and welcome to another comic review. My name is Jesse, and as always, I'm joined by TFG1 Mike from GeekCastRadio.com.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Our topic of discussion today, Void Rivals number 8 by Kirkman, DeFelice, Delpeche, and Wooten. Is that how you say their name?
Delpeche? I think so.
Yep. Okay, and Wooten. The quick synopsis here from ImageComics.com. Derek and Salila go face-to-face with Proximus, face-to-face with... certain death?
And question mark.
Question mark, exclamation point, ampersand. My quick rundown. We open in the past with a younger Salila and her brother, children of war, talking about their mother. They break out into a physical squabble with an unseen figure stating that these two are ready. Back to the present day, Derek and Salila continue their trek across the wastelands as we see Proximus introduced in the last issue on the hunt via his motorcycle. After tracking them down, Salila recognizes Proximus and exclaims they will not survive this encounter. The three begin an all-out brawl. After a good old-fashioned ass-whooping, Derek is able to distract Proximus with a blast from his gun while Salila impales Proximus with her weapon. Proximus grabs Salila by the neck and begins to strangle her as the hand droid gets one up on Proximus and detonates an explosion that knocks everyone backwards. Upon awakening from the detonation, Derek is seemingly alone, but the handroid picks up traces of Salila's armor, and Derek begins walking in that direction. We close with Derek finding Salila impaled by her own weapon that is staked into the ground, with Proximus nowhere to be seen. So, what are your thoughts on this?
So, I'm one of those, and I probably will say this every episode, I'm one of those types of people that if it's right at the beginning of a story arc, I will go back to the beginning to get a refresher, even though I know we already did the number 7 issue, but I reread number 7 to see, because you will message me every once in a while during the week before we record these things, and you'll say, yeah, I like this, or I didn't like, you don't spoil or anything, but like, you'll say, oh, 32 pages or 47 pages or whatever, and I'm like, okay, yeah, and I'm looking at this, and I'm like, the story itself goes from page 3 to page 21 out of 30. That's roughly, and this is like the second arc, this is the second part of the new story arc. A lot happens here. I was surprised because we got a lot of Derek's stuff in issue 7 as far as his past, because the issue 7, as we know, starts out 10 years ago with his past. And then this one starts out with her past. So I like that. I think that's good. I think that's a interesting way for us, the readers, who have never seen this before, because this is a brand new comic, to get to know these characters. I think that's good. And then it mixes in with what the current escape from Proximus is. So I like this. I think this is good.
See, I'm opposite.
Gonna
be the tractor here, yeah. I completely disagree. I do really like the backstory we get at the beginning. I think that's a nice contrast to kind of the rest of the issue. And like what you just said, right? We did get a backstory for Derek, so having some backstory here on Salila is great. And what it alludes to, I think, makes for a very interesting story. But for me, again, I've never read the Walking Dead comic series.
Neither have I.
So I don't know how close the Walking Dead comic series is to the Walking Dead TV show in those early seasons. Like, I think it's somewhat close, but later as the TV show progressed, I don't know how close it was to the comic series. But what I can tell you is I did watch the TV show up to a certain point, And through numerous seasons, kind of like after a large portion of like the main cast that was in that first few seasons was gone, you could skip like full episodes, kind of like full episodes in a row of that series, and you would miss nothing story-wise.
Okay.
I feel like with this, like nothing outside of those first three pages, which again is the backstory. We get some backstory there on Salila and her brother. I feel like this doesn't advance the story at all. Like it's the whole issue is just a fight scene. And other than Salila being hurt at the end, the story doesn't really change much.
Okay.
So in my opinion, it's slow in that sense, right? It doesn't really progress the story. The fight scene I think is great in the way that it's drawn out here. Yep. The scene of Proximus on the motorcycle, which I think we saw in a preview before, maybe.
Yeah.
Is pretty badass.
Yes.
Not gonna lie about that. And I do like the fight scenes and kind of the way they're drawn. The colors I think are fantastic. I just feel like there's not much story progression here.
So this is why I love that this is my first ever thing that I have read or done or seen or whatever with Mr. Kirkman. I don't care about zombie apocalypses. I don't care about zombies. I don't. The closest thing I come to zombies is the Cranberries song. That's it. like, I don't give two shits about, undead
things. What about the Bad Wolves version? Do you like that one?
I haven't heard the Bad Wolves version of it.
Oh, but, man.
Okay, I'll have to listen. That's for another time. So for me, going into this as never really had any exposure to Mr. Kirkman's creativeness and style and whatever, I like this. I think this is good. I think, yes, this is the second issue. I believe the second arc is issues. It's going to be issues 7 through 12, I think. Because, as we'll find out later, issue 9, according to certain press releases from Skybound, says that that's the midway point of the arc. So this being, like we said, the second chapter of the arc, like you have to do something here. Like the first issue to set it up is, this is Proximus. We have his whole backstory, not his whole backstory, but we have his create or recreation or whatever. Okay, then the next issue is obviously we see him going after Derek and Salila, which is this is the chase, which is, as I've said to you before, comics need to have a balance, and this is the action part of the story, whereas you're not going to get, like you said, those first three pages of the story for Salila's backstory thing. That's cool. That's great. I love that. But I also love this, the rest of this as an action piece of, holy crap, they're getting their asses handed to them. They try to injure Proximus. They do it a little bit, but then Derek is like, oh crap. And the sad realization I had here, folks, in this episode, in this issue, is Derek is essentially Booster Gold and Handroid is Skeets. I'm not kidding. I swear, as I was reading this, where Derek says, I just like to lay here for a little while and just whatever, like, don't worry about my life. And Handroid's like, that is my entire existence, is to make sure you stay alive. I'm like, oh God, I can hear the voice of whoever voiced the character of Booster Gold. And I know Billy West did the voice of Skeets in the DCAU Justice League. I can hear them in my head as I'm, and I was not expecting to see Salila on a pike to end the issue. That was kind of a shocker to me. So, yeah, no, I'm really enjoying this.
So I guess, what do you think about the biggest shocker in this issue? I guess, do you know what I'm alluding to?
No, what are you alluding to?
So that Proximus is actually her brother.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah.
Did you not pick up on that?
Yeah, because I've read this three times. Well, okay, so really quickly, folks, I'm going to make a pup named Scooby-Doo reference that probably nobody but me is going to get. The schnook who took my comic book. So I remember the issue 7. And when we were going to be getting issue 8, I was like, oh, okay, it'll just auto charge because I have it set up as a subscription on Amazon. And you're like, I'm like, I didn't notice anything. You messaged me that morning. Yeah, it disappeared. I'm like, what do you mean it disappeared? It disappeared. The elephant just disappeared. I'm like, okay, fine, it disappeared. I'm still using Twitter. I don't care. I will use it until it's dead because it's the easiest way to get a hold of people. I tweeted at Skybound, hey, where's Void Rivals issue 8 @Amazon @Amazon_help because it's gone. Where'd it go? And they're like, oh, we don't know. And then, like, I think it was like 10 or 20 minutes later, you're like, it's back. I'm like, oh, okay, it's back. Let's go ahead and get this thing. So I'm reading it and reading it and reading it. And I, like I said, I've read it like 3 different times now because that's just how my brain works, folks. I have to reread things over and over to make sure I can actually talk about them. And there's a scene in here where, is it when they first meet, where she asks him, is it her that says it, or is it is it Proximus that says, do you recognize me, or whatever? One of them says, do you recognize, and I kind of figured something, I'm like, oh.
Yeah,
and again, go ahead.
It was Proximus who says, you, do I recognize you? And then somebody that responds with, if only you could.
If only you could. Right. Yeah. No, I think this is going to be good because this is not just Derek and Solila, strangers from warring worlds between each other. This is each of their stories separately but together, and we're getting the fact that, like, that's a twist. Like, okay, great. That's a twist. Let's go. Let's get this done because I think that's really cool that she's on the quote-unquote good side, and he's on the quote-unquote bad side. That's fun. That's very fun to me.
Yeah, now if you go back in issues, right, so back in issue 7, and when we see, like, I guess either the cyborgy version of him before they put the armor on him,
right,
or the red world, which I think is still some virtual computer prison type thing. If you look at the jewel, it's more pointed down at the bottom.
Right, gotcha. So that's a way to tell you that, yeah.
But then if you look at it here in issue 8 here, it's the same shape, but it's a little flat on the bottom as opposed to being pointed. So is it actually him? I feel like they allude to it. Maybe it's just slightly drawn differently and wasn't done on purpose, but...
Until they tell us otherwise, or until the story tells us otherwise, I would like to believe that it is him because I like that as a storytelling thing where it's, okay, this is who you think it is, but might not be. It's ambiguous, but it's ambiguous enough where it's also, you know, it's also telling you, hey, look, left hand over here to distract from this right hand thing that's happening this way. Like, right. It's fun. It's good. That's why, again, now that I've really grasped that, I'm like, okay, I'll hold on to this straw for a while.
And actually, if you go to page 5 in this issue, issue 8, in those panels where he's drawn there, it's actually pointed. So it's not even consistent within the same issue. So my assumption is that, yes, he is Proximus. Like I said, the jewel sort of matches up depending on what pane or panel you're looking at. And it heavily alludes to the fact that that's who he is. So
yeah, and I like that. I like that it's not exactly. Again, if it doesn't match up, it's them. It's Mr. Kirkman. It's the artist. It's whomever is doing it on the creative team. It's them trying to say to us, "Is it or is it?" Kind of like, "Is it or isn't it? Is it or is it? Whatever, whatever, whatever." And then we get to that point where he's like, I should remember you. You should, but you don't. I like that. I think that's what makes this fun. My only complaint about this issue has nothing to do with the actual comic itself. It has to do with how they do the promotional material in the back. So we get a preview of the monsters, the creature from the Black Lagoon
lives.
Yeah, I don't give two shits about this. But as much as I don't give two shits about it, all of their promotional material at the back is Energon Universe this, Energon Universe that, go get these, collect all these exciting Energon Universe. And I'm like, wait a minute, where's the... And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that's kind of where Springer belongs, in the lower right-hand corner, really small. Like, I was expecting a full page, like, every book that we've talked about in this universe, whether it's Void Rivals, the G.I. Joe books, because I can say they are the G.I. Joe books, even though there isn't a book called G.I. Joe yet. There probably will be in the future. And Transformers, we always get a single full page viewing of the next issue's comic cover. I had to look at this three different times. I'm like, you mean to tell me we wasted 1, 2, 3, 4 pages on a preview and you couldn't even give us the full? Wow. So that's my really only complaint. And I know that's just a whatever kind of complaint thing, so it doesn't really matter.
I mean, they've really been pushing that creature from the Black Lagoon, because that was also in one of the last Energon Universe comics. I don't remember if it was Void Rivals. I got to look at it now.
It doesn't. It really doesn't matter in the long run. Okay.
I think it was one of the G.I. Joe issues then, because I'm not seeing it in Void Rivals 7, but it wasn't one of the previous comics that I saw.
Yeah, and that's fine. I was like, I don't know. I don't want them to take away, and they didn't here. I know you're not so big on this issue as far as, like, they're not. You even told me there wasn't enough words. I'm like, really? You counted them?
I'm just counting the bubbles, man.
But it's just one of those things where I don't ever want advertisements. Even if it's just the next issue or, hey, collect these other great issues that have already come. I don't ever want advertisements in single issue comics to take away from how many pages of story we get. And I think this issue didn't do that, but at the same time, I don't know. Maybe if we had, instead of those four pages, maybe just a two-page thing for Creature from the Black Lagoon, which would give two more page story to maybe do something more with Proximus. But I think, because this was a fighter issue, not necessarily a story-driven issue, it works overall. And I don't dislike this comic book. So, you know.
Well, at the very least, right, if they would have done two less pages for Creature from the Black Lagoon, you could have got your full page issue, or sorry, your full page photo of Void Rivals number 9. So.
Yeah. Void Rivals number 9, worst Autobot ever. Home wrecking mother... So, I have lots of childhood issues with Springer.
So before we actually dive into that, I want to talk one more thing about the talk to the Handroid, which is the name of the letter section, which I like the name of that here. I did want to mention that at least in this particular issue, I did do an accessibility test on this.
Okay.
And the colors work. They're just barely, like, the text for the actual letter itself from the person who's sending it in, supposedly. I still question whether or not some of these are real.
No, they are. They are now.
Okay. It could be slightly bolder, but it's still technically accessible based on, like, the color contrast. And then the responses from the creative team, very easy to read because it's bold.
Yeah.
I wish they could translate this over into the G.I. Joe comics, into the Transformer comics.
Well, okay, so let me look at this, because I forgot about the fact, because I'm trying to impress upon him to wait for certain things, and I completely forgot that Duke number 4 came out, because I'm like, oh, we're waiting on Cobra Commander number 4.
Right.
Okay, fine, and I have not read Duke number 4 yet, because I don't read it until it's ready for whatever. But I'm going back to I'm in Duke number 4, and I'm going back to that letter, back to the back with that, where that letter section is.
Which, by the way, is the issue that has Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, okay, good. There you go. So Duke number 4, other than having to actually zoom in on it to actually be able to read the text, because digital comics and letters sections don't really work as far as just looking at the single page. I can read all of it. I don't really like the yellow text, but I think they're listening to us. If they are listening to us, thank you. But I think they are getting better between Void Rivals and Duke. I can't say, I want to see what happens in Cobra Commander number 4's letter section and the Transformers letter section. We'll find out about that next week. Hopefully they've improved it. But in the past, so far, yes, you are absolutely correct. They've all been horrible, but I think they are learning as we yell at them through podcasting.
Well, I mean, yeah, everything in the Duke one, for example, in the most recent Duke number four, yep, is readable with the exception of that gold. Like you said, you could read it like if you zoomed in.
Yeah, I have to zoom in on it. But I can still read it. Like there are some of the other ones that we've talked about where even zoomed in, I couldn't read it because the text was so against a light white or a light gray background. Having a light color text is stupid. The text, right, whether it's unbold or bold, needs to be a darker color than the back of the page. Like, nobody's going to write in black ink on black paper. You're right, not going to be able to see that.
Right. So, I mean, so here with Duke as an example, right, the thing they could have done, because yellow on white, and I realize the background here isn't like fully white, but it's a whitish.
It's whitish, yeah.
So yellow on white is always a no-no. But what they could have done for that yellow or that gold or whatever you want to call it is, right, that's one of the – who is this? This is Josh. So the gold is Josh. Like, they could have just made that like a dark blue. The other one is like just a dark black, right? It's a bolded black. Yeah. You could have just made it a bolded blue. And it would have been perfect. It would have been absolutely perfect. But they didn't do that. It's still gold. So like half of the letter section is good, or three quarters of the letter section is good. but yeah, I did notice that it was, I tested it in Side of Void Rivals. It was easier. The letter text itself, right? The letter or the words from the person sending in the letter, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. That still technically could have been a different color. It should have probably been a different color, but it's at least accessible in this case.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's,
but I love the name of the letter section, by the way. Talk to the Android.
Yeah. Talk to the Android. Yep. 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 That's hilarious.
All right. So, anything else on issue 8?
I don't think so. We're going to the solicitations now.
Yeah. So our first look at issue number 9, I want to read this here really quick before you dive into whatever you got. Uh-huh. So the solicitation here for number 9 is, as Derek and Salila cling to life deep in the wasteland, they find Springer. It's the first Energon universe appearance of everyone's favorite triple changer Autobot.
I like triple changers, just not that one. All right, so I'm going to go get on the couch, folks. 1986, everybody remembers that most infamous movie from 1986, right? He's a homewrecker. He tries to get with it's Hot Rod NRC. It's Rodimus Prime NRC. It's not Springer NRC. It just isn't. No. That's really my only issue with Springer overall. I love the toy. I don't remember having the toy, but friends of mine had the toy when I was a kid. I love the whole thing of triple changers in general. What I like about this and what Skybound's website continues to say is how they're using Void Rivals to give us, quote unquote, fan favorite characters. And I'm only saying that because of Springer, not because of Shockwave or anybody else that we've seen so far. They're using this to sprinkle those throughout because, as we know, Daniel Warren Johnson has his own shtick with the ongoing. So I like that they can use Void Rivals as the the general basis for introducing various things, because Void Rivals is out in space. It's on different planets. It's on different asteroids. It's doing this. It's doing that. So I like that. I think that's going to be interesting. And I'm interested to see what take they take with the character, even though generally I don't like the character.
Well, I guess, so what are your thoughts about them? And again, they've spoiled this, like, I don't know, what, months ago?
Yeah, but it's not really, again, how most of the people listening to the sound of my voice know this. You may not remember. But that's how comics work. Comics, because they have to do all this advance notice stuff. That's unfortunately how spoilers with comics work, is because they have to do all the solicitations so all the comic shops can order the books and, you know, see a reason to order the books to make sure the comic shop customers want the books, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's why they do spoilers and solicitations and stuff.
But like, why not do something like, and I've seen them do this in like the little blurb they write as the preview, where it's like, oh, rather than writing in, right, like Springer, for example, they'll just put in spoiler. And then what they could have done, what they could have done here was, rather than actually write show Springer, they could have just had like a darkened outline of him. And it's like, oh, well, who is this? This is clearly a Transformer. They could have even left like the Autobot symbol on there. And then it's like, now it's like a guessing game. It's like, who is this?
Yeah, I don't know. It's the way they do these things, man. It's just the way they do these things.
Well, so I guess how much, and this is just throwing this out there to you, just to kind of get your thoughts on this. Like, how much do you think he's going to be featured in the next issue with him being on the initial first print cover?
I don't know. I assume he's going to have some sort of interaction with our characters from Void Rivals or something. Maybe it's him and Proximus or something. I don't know. I don't know how much, I don't know how many pages out of the whatever story pages we're going to get. And if, because how they say it in the Skybound website's thing where they say that issue 9 is the halfway point between, which it is, of the story arc, maybe they're gonna, I don't know. I hope something really cool happens. That's all I know. Like,
well, we know this is taking place
a trash compactor.
We know this is taking place at the same time, presumably, as Transformers, as we saw with Jetfire, who left the Rock and landed on Earth. So do you think with his introduction here, we're going to see him rolled into the Transformers series in the not too distant future?
I don't know. We didn't get promotional material with him because he wasn't a part of the original lineup that Warren Johnson wanted to use. So I don't know. I don't know where he's going to go or what's going to happen with him.
Okay. I just know that, right, the unveiling of Jetfire, Jetfire, Skyfire, Jetfire.
Jetfire. Yep.
Jetfire.
Whatever. Same thing.
Is it? No, it's Skyfire, right?
It's all the same damn thing. It's Jetfire, the same character.
Jetfire was a toy. Skyfire is the character.
Okay.
So with the unveil of Skyfire, is that right? Now I got to Google this. Yes.
It's okay. It's fine. Keep going. Just what do you Google it. Oh, God, dude.
Skyfire. Let's see. Yes. Jetfire is the name of several fictional characters in the Transformers franchise.
See, it's
Jetfire. Skyfire. Not Skyfire. Jetfire, a.k.a. Skyfire.
Yeah.
Well, whatever he's called in the damn comic series. We didn't get a comic cover of him until, like, several reprints later, and he was, like, at, what, two, three pages? So with him, with Springer being on the cover for this initial first print, I'm just wondering, like, if he's going to play a large part in this next issue, and if so, this is kind of the thing that Derek has been alluding to that he had seen previously in the Wasteland.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. Maybe. I don't know. But I assume he's going to play some sort of major role other than just standing back in the shadows like Shockwave. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah.
Find Skyfire. Out in May.
Yes. His name's Skyfire.
There you go.
Skyfire is the character. Jetfire is the toy.
It's all the same. Like, it's all the same character, unless you give him ugly Michael Bay designs and give him a walking stick.
Hey, I like that character in the movie, though.
Yeah, he's probably the best part of that second movie.
They could have called him literally anything else, but I still like the character.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the TF Wiki, and it says Skyfire.
There you go.
So I'm going with Skyfire.
All right.
So anything else on issue 9?
No, wait and see. Looking forward to it.
All right. So closing thoughts. We don't have anything else on anything beyond issue 9 at this point, right?
No, okay. No, because May is coming up and they will probably do solicitations for 10, maybe at the end of this month, which is April, folks. Of course, for me, you actually won't hear this episode on the pullbag until the middle of whenever the hell, middle of May, actually, because of how my schedule works on that podcast. So
one more question I have, right? There was a big break within Void Rivals when it launched. There was a big break. Mm-hmm. Transformers caught up. It launched G.I. Joe, or not G.I. Joe, but the miniseries for G.I. Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we'll get another break? Like, is having a break within a comic series, like, is that a normal thing? Like, will we see that happen again in the future? Or
it's not, unless issues are happening, unless there's a print issue, unless there's an issue with the publisher, unless something has to be redone, unless something, heaven forbid this never happens, but unless something unfortunate happens to one of the artists or one of the creators and has to, you know, go on break. But the way Skybound is doing it, at least from what we've seen, they're not doing it like any other, like DC, Marvel, they're almost 100-year-old machines. They're over 80 years old. Batman is celebrating his 85th anniversary this year.
Right.
So, you know, they're machines, and the machine will go on. Skybound under Image is new to this. They're probably not completely new, because obviously Kirkman's been doing the Walking Dead comic and television show and everything else. But what I don't know, and I don't think so, unless they are going to be fully, like, unless they're going to start a G.I. Joe ongoing, which so far I don't think they're doing that yet. I think they're still going to give us these G.I. Joe miniseries, which, as I've said before in the G.I. Joe episodes we've done, I like that because it's an easy thing. It's an easy way to get to know the characters before the team comes to get. It's kind of like how Robert Downey Jr. built the Avengers over X number of movies before we got 2012, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if Void Rivals takes another break at the end of issue 12 for the next arc, I'm more than fine with it, because I was fine with it the first time around because you had to launch all these other things or whatever. I'm okay with it. Hey, the podcasts go on breaks all the time, folks. You know, and as long as the listeners are still there, they'll come back, you know, kind of thing. So I don't know. I think it's fine. I don't think anything is going to happen to it, because they are so, when they are on, they are going so gung-ho with the promotion. And promotion now for comp, for anything, really, you've got Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, Facebook, Threads, what else is out there? WhatsApp or whatever. I don't even know what the hell, you know. You've got all these social media apps, and you've got all this other stuff that you can use now in 2024 that we didn't really. I mean, we've had Twitter and Facebook for years, but, like, I don't know. It is what it is. You'd be surprised how catchy Instagram reels or stories are to catch certain things. I've caught more new music in the last year and a half from Instagram reels than I have ever listening to the radio. So I don't think this is a problem. Again, if it happens, if we get to issue 12 and they say, okay, issue 13 is going to be, when is issue? I don't even know what rumor when issue 12 is supposed to go. Let's say issue 12 is supposed to be out the July, August, whatever. We're going to take a break until November, or we're going to do that. I'm in. I'm fine. I'm okay. I don't know how the rest of the comic reading fandom is going to be. And other than you and I really have, I've heard people talking about Void Rivals, but I don't know. Audience members who are listening to or watching this, let us know. How are you enjoying Void Rivals if you're reading it, and will you stick with it, kind of thing? Because I'm all in. I'm ready. I'm ready for whatever. And if I have to wait, I have to wait. Because again, at this point in my podcasting career and my comic book reading career from doing a podcast for 11 years about comic books, I like waiting for the trade. I don't need single issues. I want the whole story now. So I'm perfectly okay with whatever they do.
All right, before we get to plugs, I got one more question for you.
Sure.
So this is sort of all-encompassing. So we are 21 issues into the Energon universe. What are your thoughts just kind of overall so far?
I'm liking it. I'm digging it. I think it's cool. I think it's fun. I think it's good.
All right. Well, that's nice and succinct.
it's just one of those things where,
I guess, what is your favorite so far of the four series? I'm going to include the G.I. Joe miniseries.
Yeah, absolutely. I like them all for different reasons, but I think the aspect of something completely new and something I don't need 40 years to catch up on. And you don't really need 40 years to catch up on with Transformers or the G.I. Joe miniseries. You don't really need that. But as people who have been in the fandom since we were kids, like, we kind of sort of sometimes expect that kind of thing. But I like Void Rivals because it's characters I've never seen before. It's a story that has grabbed my attention, and I'm interested to see what happens next. And because, as I said earlier, they're using Void Rivals to introduce us to other characters that we may not get in the main Transformers ongoing, I'm interested to see how that plays out with the Void Rivals story.
Sweet. I think as we've talked about these more and more, I think it's pretty apparent that the G.I. Joe miniseries really aren't grabbing me. But I think I would put both Transformers and Void Rivals kind of up on the same area on the pedestal. I think for me, maybe Transformers has a slight edge for two reasons. Really, I love the art from Daniel Warren Johnson as one. And two, it's just like a little bit more familiar to me because I know the characters than Void Rivals. But I've been a big fan of kind of the world that Void Rivals has introduced up to this point. Yeah. I do think some of the issues, like I said, this one included, are a little slow. I wish they would advance the story a little bit more, but I really dig the world that it's building, and I'm a fan of the characters. So
yeah, and that's the thing about comics and story. We have 7 to 12, so 5 issues. We've got 5 issues. Sometimes you need to breathe, or sometimes you need to have that action sequence of the action advances the story. The fight in Void Rivals number 8 advanced the story because, holy crap, Derek woke up, or Derek finally got up off his ass from having his ass beat by Proximus to find where the hell Celila is. She's 400 nanometers, nanoseconds, whatever, away. And Billy West is the voice of Skeets, a.k.a. Handroid, is like, go this way. And, you know, we find her on a pike. I would say that's a pretty good cliffhanger to come back. That's more of a cliffhanger. Even if we hadn't gotten spoiled on the cover of issue 9 for the most hated Autobot in the world, you know, the end of issue 8, I'm ready. What happened? We know what happened. Proximus put a pike through her, or put her through a pike. So, but like, what's going to happen next? Yeah, I need to know. And I'm fine. I'm good.
Well, the worst thing that could happen next is we don't find out until issue 10.
So, don't give them any ideas and don't jinx us like that, man. What the hell is wrong with you?
Issue 9 will be nothing but Springer. So. All right. So plugs, what do you got for plugs?
All right. So right now over on the Pullbag, over on Geekcast Radio Network, we've got out now. We have the big Duke and Cobra Commander issues 2 and 3 combined episodes, since I forgot to put out issue 2 beforehand. We just released almost 3 hours. My buddy Joe Reed and I talked about all 5 issues of IDW Publishing's TMNT, The Last Ronin. So we did that. My buddy Adam Ray and I did Deadpool Does Shakespeare. That was interesting. And I heard nothing but Ryan Reynolds in my head the whole time I was reading it. We've got more stuff coming up. Like I said, folks, you won't actually hear the Pullbag syndicated version of this episode probably until May, just how I do things. If Steve, who is the co-creator of the Geekcast Radio with me, Steve Megatron, if he already does art for banners for me, I'm not moving that episode. So 550 and 551, I've already got art for, and I'm like, I'm not switching that, so I'll just move this to this. So you won't be hearing this on the Pullbag till May. And then GeekCastRadio.com itself, we just released episode 333 of the flagship show Geekcast Radio, the 2024 Geek Smorgasbord Part 1, where Steve and I talked about just how either out of touch we are, or just not that there's not much so far in 2024 that is exciting us, whether it comes to movies and TV and things like that. And I did mention that the comics with this stuff, with Void Rivals and what Skybound is doing with that and Transformers, that was exciting me and stuff like that. We've also got a Transformers episode of all things Transformers, where the 40th anniversary live stream, the fans celebrate the 40th anniversary of Transformers more than Hasbro ever could. 12 Months of Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back is currently out on Studio 2009. We've got a whole bunch of stuff, folks, so go check it out, geekcastradio.com. We've got 15 years this coming June, 15 years over 3,000 episodes of audio content.
It's a lot of content.
That's right. I'm a machine. I am a podcast machine.
Is that it?
You know, it reminds me of an old Marvel quote. I can do this all day. but yeah, I think that's it.
All right, my plugs. You can find our Instagram. We do have an Instagram here for the podcast. That is Another Comic Review. I did say that correctly. Another Comic Review. Not another podcast review. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/matrix_prime. Of course, I'm Blue Sky. You can just search for my name, Jesse Early. You'll find me there. One thing I did want to plug that is not Void Rivals related, but is Energon Universe related, and this is not something I'm selling, but the Till All Are One Transformers 40th Anniversary Reunion screening has been announced. So this is going to be like a 3-day event, I guess. So Wednesday, May 15th, May 18th, and 19th. So this is going to be an airing of the first 4 episodes. Seems odd because, right, the series opens first with a 3-part miniseries. So,
yeah.
But it's going to be the first 4 episodes of the original Transformers cartoon, The Transformers. And yeah, tickets go on sale April 10th at Transformers40thCinemaEvent.com. Don't know how much the tickets are, but what's interesting about this is the very first episode, I guess, is going to have a split screen. So you'll see the episode play out, and then on the other side, you will see a table reading with, it looks like Peter Cullen, Frank Welker, and then Greg Berger, and I don't know, Frank Todaro?
Frank Todaro, yep. Frank Todaro Frank Todaro is a voice actor. We actually interviewed him. I will send you a link to that interview if you want to put it in your show notes. We did this a couple of years ago. He was the voice of Starscream in the War for Cybertron cartoon series, the Netflix cartoon 6-episode thing. Frank is an awesome dude. He's great. There's nobody else I would can think of right now in voice acting that could live on with the legacy of Lotta. If he, you know, since he's doing Generation One, since they are doing G1 in the Netflix War for Cybertron cartoon, he did a kind of very G1 Chris Lotta Starscream. As much as I love Steve Bloom's Transformers Prime Starscream voice, that's Steve Bloom's Starscream voice. It's not him putting on a lot of impression.
Right.
But yeah, Frank Todaro, amazing, amazing dude. He rocks.
Man, it's very hard to replicate that Chris Lotta voice.
I'm telling you, he does a pretty good damn job of it.
Does he? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm interested in checking this out. If it's playing local, I'm hoping it is. I don't know why this isn't like a traditional like Fathom type event, because those always seem to play local. But
yeah, I was like, wait a minute, why isn't this Fathom events? What's going on here? Because even if the tickets aren't on sale until April 10th, which right now, as we're recording this, folks, is April. Wow, is April 6th? You would think that they would want people to know what the ticket prices would be, or where the stuff would be available, kind of thing.
Yeah. So that's a little bit of a mystery there, but again, if it's playing local, I plan on going. If I do, in one of our Transformer comic reviews, I'll talk a little bit about that. So
very cool. Very cool.
All right. I think that's it. Unless you got anything else.
I don't think so.
All right, well, then this is it for issue number 8 of Void Rivals. Coming up this week, we have Transformers number 7. That's coming out on Wednesday, so looking forward to that.
Yep. He says reluctantly.
Well, hey, I'm still glad that Daniel Warren Johnson is writing. The art that we've seen so far, very close to what Daniel Warren Johnson was doing. So I've got high hopes. Just don't squash them here. Just don't squash them. All right, everyone. Till next time, Jesse's signing off.
This is Mike. See you later.
Autobots, roll out.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.